This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. This is Bear. I've got Jake along with Marcus Young. Russ is running late. Apparently, the interstate is at a standstill. So,
it was Russ, pretty bad earlier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it rains in Knoxville and people lose their minds. So, Russ will be along shortly. Got a lot of stuff to talk about on Overreaction Monday. Wall to wall, y'all. Tennessee finishes up the regular season at, what did our record end up being? Is it 52-7?
It was 49-7.
49-7.
Just one away from that magic number.
So pretty much, I mean, right now it's one of the best seasons in SEC baseball history. Definitely, I think, probably the best team regular season we've ever had. Now, from here, who knows? Just depends on how far we go.
I mean, it's time to put up or shut up. I mean, there's not going to be any more gimmies from here on out. Just got to go out every day and play the way we're supposed to play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we open with the winner of – now, here's a cool thing. Did you guys look at the bracket at all?
I have not had a chance to yet.
So, in looking at the bracket, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, one of them will be home before we even play a game. So, we get the winner. They're both coming in that same little part of the bracket that we're in. They're playing to face us in our first game.
Don't know how I feel about that draw.
Oh, I'm all about it.
I know you're all about it.
Yeah. Give me Vanderbilt.
I mean, can we have them? Can we have Missouri? Can we have Mississippi State again?
Well, have you looked at the bracket? I mean, I'm just assuming that they're going to – I mean, Mississippi State's at home, dude. They didn't qualify.
No, they didn't.
Uh-uh. So you got to look at the bracket. Yeah, we're the number one seed. We got the best bracket. We got the best draw.
Right. See, who all didn't make it? Mississippi State, Missouri obviously didn't make it. They're terrible.
I would have to
Kentucky's
look that
Kentucky's the 12th
up.
Seed.
Kentucky is the 12th seed?
Yeah. So they're the cutoff.
Kentucky. Beating us twice. Got them. That helped them get into it.
Yep.
But anyhow, I thought that was remarkable just simply because if you had told us that at the beginning of the year before the season started – I would have told you were crazy. I mean, what, Ole Miss? When we went down to Oxford, Ole Miss was the number one baseball team in the nation, and we wrecked them. They were broken.
But they never recovered.
They did. They did good enough to make the SEC tournament. So,
but they never lived up to that hype again the rest of the season.
Vanderbilt, I don't know how far back. Like, who's in second in the SEC East? Who finished second?
That would be Georgia.
Well, that's all you need to know there.
I mean, they're the sixth seed overall going into the SEC tournament.
Then above Vandy them, is?
No, Georgia.
Georgia is?
Yeah. Vandy is eighth.
So, but anyhow, and we will definitely be breaking down probably the series. Russ and I got a chance to talk after the game on Friday night. We did a space, a little impromptu voluntary reaction after that one. So we had, and it turned on a dime. Who was it that, was it you that won it? Was it 50?
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you, man. I had a feeling that wasn't, I'd have gone under on that, way under. Yeah. I mean, you don't usually see that kind of performance in back-to-back games, but everybody had a good weekend. Marcus, young Marcus Young.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Got to see Man City have a great Sunday, so I was pretty happy with that.
Russell just straight spewing haterade,
which is why we have a chance to talk about it with him not here at the moment. We can share our love for Man City.
So well, they had Premier League, at the end of that game, apparently got scary down on the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. We aren't talking mustard bottles and golf balls either. A bunch of drunken, crazed Mancunians.
That's why it's always funny to me when people go after Tennessee fans for the way that we've acted. It's like, have you been overseas and see what they do?
Have you seen the Premier League?
Well, everyone wants to bring up the Ole Miss game, but everyone forgets that the scene at the Music City Bowl in 2010 was far worse.
Oh, yeah.
People throwing aluminum bottles out of the upper deck.
That's not nearly as bad as somebody posted the video. I don't know. It was probably an Ole Miss fan was saying something about UT. And I think – and somebody posted a video from the basketball game.
Yeah.
Which – I contend it's a lot more dangerous because you don't have to throw anything nearly as far in a basketball, nope. in a gym. And they just pelted the floor with stuff, bottles and cups.
Shakers.
And, oh, just everything. But we get hammered about it. So, but, yeah, that was it was a pretty sports-filled weekend. We had an epic, and I mean one for the anals. Rest in peace, Pazan. Meltdown at the PGA yesterday.
JT walked away with the victory, didn't he?
Yeah, the Gump. I was so mad. That's the only thing that went wrong this weekend, sports-wise for me. I mean, I would have liked to have seen the Celtics win.
That was tough.
Yeah, I mean, they could turnover after turnover.
I still think this whole series is going to seven. Like, oh, they're probably. Both very good teams. I think I wouldn't be surprised if you
go back. Yeah, I mean – you look at the other side of the spectrum on the Western Conference. I mean, Golden State is – I mean, they're a lot better than I thought they were. And Dallas just showed up and nothing's happening. I mean, they had a little bit of a run last night towards the end of the game. But I just – I don't know. I expected more.
You think it's going to be a sweep?
No.
Mavs have a little life?
Maybe. Maybe.
Or I should say Luka has a little life.
Yeah, Luka has a little life. Nobody else is.
No one else on that team has anything.
No.
Yeah, it was especially –
I mean, the other one's a dud.
Yeah. I mean, especially down watching Curry literally when he shot that three, just like saying night-night. Like that was like, okay.
Man.
All right. I mean, yeah, this is serious.
When Steph's feeling it, they're going to be they're a tough out.
Yeah.
And you take in Draymond is just playing at a whole nother level defensively. Aggression, just vicious, rough playoff, like old school basketball. So I find myself wanting to I love Draymond Green. I love how he plays the game.
He's a fighter.
He could play back in the old days.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. He's tough enough. He could have played back with Showtime and the Celtics or Pistons or any of those Motley Crue's. Of just roughnecks that played back in those days. So, but yeah, had you know, was it that series is not very fun. See, here's what worries me: is the Celtics and the Heat are going to basically destroy each other trying to win it. The Warriors are probably going to wrap this up tomorrow.
Dallas is only a 1-point favorite tomorrow, but
and then the Warriors are going to. Go back to the Bay Area and rest, and everybody's going to be healthy.
Oh, they're going to be on about 5-6 days rest, maybe more.
Oh, yeah. This Heat Celtics thing, that's going to seven.
Yeah.
That's what it, to me, I think.
Which will be a shame that will probably be the most exciting series, and the finals will, like you said, be kind of rough.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, I mean,
it used to happen, and obviously it still does.
Well, that's why there was a topic of conversation that came up maybe last year, the year before, in the NBA just do away with how the playoffs are set up, like divided up by conference, like the East and the West. Just put the best 16 teams in the NBA playoff and seed them accordingly, and you're going to have a better product. Because, I mean, you look historically, it's either been the East that's been dominant or the West that's been dominant. And then the same team always ends up in the, either the conference finals or the finals.
I wonder if they could, if the Timberwolves would go back and not tank so that they could play. Who they play in the first round? Chicago? The Bulls? Is that who they played?
I don't even remember.
I think they played the Grizzlies, because wasn't it the whole thing with
maybe
Kat and Ja?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there was a whole thing with them, yeah. That was a good series, too.
Oh, though. Yeah, because the people kept going out onto the floor and trying to glue themselves to the floor like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was that series.
But they wanted to play the Bucks wanted to play the Grizzlies. And then they kind of tanked at the end of the season there, it looked like. Around with their playoff seeding.
I'm curious what's going to happen with Chicago next year, you know, when you get Lonzo Ball back. Because when he was out there, they actually looked like a competent team, which was weird for me to say because I'm not a big family like fan of the Ball family. But when he was with Chicago, like, that whole team looked like they could actually, you know, put up a fight in that first-round series. But
see, he's the only kid in that family. Well, he's not a kid anymore, but Lonzo, like, he's a good ball player. But he gets so much just hate just spewed at him because of his dad.
Is LaMelo the one that's in Charlotte?
Yeah.
Okay.
He kind of carries the same mentality as his dad.
But everyone loves LaMelo, yeah. But yeah, Lonzo's the one that gets a lot of the hate. Well, I think it was because with him being
the first.
Yeah, the first one being drafted, that whole Lakers situation where his dad was like, he's not going to play for anyone but the Lakers. Like, that probably rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. They're like, there's other good teams out there. Like, you don't have to be just a Laker. But yeah, I think that whole situation with his dad early on really made people hate Lonzo.
Which it didn't help that LeBron traded him either.
Oh yeah. I want to know who they're going to wind up, because I saw that Howard, like on Bleacher Report, was saying that Howard turned down the Lakers job.
Yeah, Juwan Howard. Juwan Howard had, I don't know if he'd interviewed for the job or somebody had reached out to him, but yeah, he fully denied. He's like, yeah, I'm not taking that job. My two sons are coming into Michigan next year. I want to coach them. So, I mean, he's content where he's at. They've narrowed it down to two. I know one of them's the former Portland coach, and
the other one's a name that we haven't heard uttered in, like,
the other one was a name that we hadn't heard in forever.
Oh, yeah.
Cannot remember his name. Where are you? Right?
Darvin.
Darvin, yeah.
First name, Darvin.
Oh, Darvin Ham.
Yes. Yeah, Darvin Ham.
Darvin Ham.
Yeah. Wow.
What a name.
Kind of feel like, I don't know. I mean, maybe they will be good. So, anyhow, I mean, this is, I can't believe we've just spent 13 minutes on the drive talking about the NBA, but here we are.
It'll be the first time in history.
Breaking records.
Poor Russell, probably in his car, just wanting to claw his eyes out.
We're definitely going to hear about it when he gets in.
If he makes it.
Yeah, if he makes it in here. Traffic's still at a standstill. He has moved 13 feet.
There has to be a rack up on the interstate.
Oh, there has to be. He's only moved 13 feet in the past 13 minutes.
Mark Nagy on it. Nagy to help us out. Somebody get one of those yellow trucks down there and get Russell and get him to the station.
What's his name? Eye in the sky, Pete Michaels? Just come down and swoop him up.
I don't know. I don't know if Russell might be scared riding a helicopter.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to be in a helicopter during the rain. That. Actually, no rain. I would not want to be in a helicopter. I think just stay out of it completely.
See, once I'm in the air, I'm fine. It's taking off that really gets me. That's why I have to get very inebriated before I get on a plane. You like flying?
I would much rather, if the pilots experience getting a helicopter than a plane.
I could see that.
Helicopters are safer.
Are they?
Yeah. You completely cut that engine off, and if you've got a experienced helicopter pilot, and he's got a flat spot, you'll land.
I don't know. Those blades make me a little bit worried.
You just float to the ground, though. Mm-hmm. They ought to rotate. So, anyhow, Like I said, we've got a big show lined up for you. Russell will be on with us hopefully sooner rather than later. But we're going to go ahead and take our first break of the hour. And this is The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
Welcome back in. The Drive continues. Let's get some phone calls going. 865-546-8200. Your number. If you want to hop on the G3 Help Me hotline, let's go right to it, where Phil is standing by. Good afternoon, Phil.
Morning, Lake, Jake Smoke.
Billy.
How you, Marcus and Bear Bryant, doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
That's cool. WSR, pretty cool. I like it.
Is that your favorite part of The Drive?
Yeah.
We have spoken to Russell. He will be connecting sometime in the next 5 to 10 minutes, hopefully.
I just assume what, 4 o'clock?
I just assume not, to tell you the truth.
Guys, I heard something a little while ago kind of upset me. I don't know if it upset you all, but you know the NIT banner, they're going to take that down out of the Thompson Bowling Arena.
Oh, it's gone.
You can't erase your history. That's like Tennessee going to the Citrus Bowl. I mean, it's the same type of bull crap, but it's part of your history. I mean, our basketball history is not like Kentucky. We got to honor everything we ever done over there.
Yeah, we need some space filled in those banners or those rafters for sure.
They don't have enough space. Make some space.
Well, I mean, I don't even really care anymore since after finding out that they basically lost all of our – you know, a good chunk of our history. I mean, did anybody ever figure out what happened to all the stuff that was in Stokely, where it went?
That's a good point. They should have put all that stuff in the Thompson Bowling Arena on the walls.
Yeah, I mean, they should have put it on the walls. And barring that, it should have been packed up properly to protect it and secured behind, you know, and not just gone scattered to the four winds. And that's really, you want to talk about something that just you wouldn't think, probably shouldn't get somebody that upset. That really gets me going, that nobody knows what happened, all that stuff.
Since we're talking about history, what about the track program now? Are they going to make a legitimate hire and get UT track back where it ought to be?
I mean, it's give the devil his due. At this point, all I will tell you is I trust Danny White to make a good track hire.
He's not disappointed so far.
At least he sees there's a problem, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And see, these young guys don't understand. That's another thing. I mean, we're getting on the porch territory now, Phil. But, I mean, that's another thing that's just never sat right, how far they let the track and field program drop. You guys have no idea at all. I mean, we had a, you know, Justin Gatlin wasn't the first Olympic-level athlete that went to UT.
No, it goes back a long way. But the speaking of the football team, if we got what's our defense look like this year? Is it going to be any good? Everybody's going around going 9-3 and 10-2. We're great. And
I think
we'll have a defense.
The issue is going to be is in the middle. And we just don't have a lot of quality depth at linebacker and at safety. Unless somebody just steps up, but you aren't. The guys that we had backing up, Jeremy Banks and starting alongside Jeremy Banks, aren't really big enough to play in the middle in the SEC.
No, that's an area that we should have hit harder in the transfer portal. And this upcoming year, that probably needs to be our number one focus, is pull guys out of the portal that can play at this level, have a size to play at this level, and just go after them. Put all your focus onto that, because everything else is going to work itself out.
We didn't get any linebackers at all out of the portal, did we?
Did we get one? I think we got one.
I'm not sure. Will you look that up for us, Marcus Young?
Of course.
I would say that freshman linebacker, the Herring, that freshman linebacker is going to be a second string linebacker, because they don't have anybody to play a lick in the linebacker.
Yeah, they do. Jeremy Banks is a solid linebacker. I mean, he's not upper tier like Alabama, Georgia.
We don't have any depth. If you're going to put Beasley out there, I mean, he can't play a lick.
Well, he's just not big enough to play safety at this level.
When you got to think,
or not safety linebacker.
Well, Jeremy Banks wasn't even recruited as a linebacker. He is recruited as a running back.
Yeah. But he fumbled all the time.
Hashtag feed the ball.
Hope he don't get hurt next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. The big concern for me is depth. Because, I mean, it's hard for, especially at that position, with that much hitting every single play. Just his health.
Who is Tennessee going to play Wednesday in the baseball tournament?
Probably the winner of Ole Miss or Vanderbilt, unless one of them gets upset by one of the – I don't know who's at the very bottom on our side.
That would be Kentucky, I thought.
Which they might.
So we could play Kentucky, huh? Good Lord. Well, they beat us again. That'd really be awful, wouldn't it?
Be pretty bad.
Yeah, and they're the perfect team to, you know, they don't give us any kind of reaction emotionally. They've got one really good pitcher. I don't know. By the time they'd face us, we're probably getting their third arm.
It's going to be Kentucky versus Auburn.
If it don't rain down there, that's what I think. That rain's what screwed Tennessee. They just
was just no juice in that stadium that night, Phil. And our guys just feed off that.
Yeah, plus it was a Kentucky Derby weekend. Everybody was at down there at Kentucky Derby. And, I mean, they could care less about UK baseball. Hell, even Cal Perry's probably couldn't even cheat during that time. You know what? See?
And that was – yep.
I was about to ask him, too, before he hopped off, about his thoughts on – hearing the news that Josiah Jordan-James is for sure coming back.
Yeah, that's big news for the basketball program. Jumping back to the banner conversation, you know the one banner that hangs in Thompson Bowling that just absolutely drives me nuts every time I look at it? The Elite Eight banner. Because you have all of our tournament appearances on one banner, and I get what they were trying to do. You know, it just says 2008 in small print. It's like, oh, well, there's going to be many more to come. Problem is, we have not been back since, and it looks awful.
It looks a little bit lonely. I'll agree. I don't think it looks awful.
I mean, we should have just done big 2008.
At the time when that banner was hung originally, things were looking pretty peachy for Tennessee in basketball.
Fast forward 6 months after that, though, things were not peachy.
Yeah. I mean, the wheels fell off quickly that year.
I was at the first loss that year against Oakland. Scalped some tickets for $30, two rows behind the bench.
You know, sometimes, you know, look, sometimes you need to have banners to remember some accomplishment. It's an accomplishment. Well, like Bear said, it's just lonely. We'll add a few more here soon. I don't know when that will be.
Well, we've got some breaking news, actually, since we've been on the air.
Oh?
Yeah. So they're announcing the SEC awards for baseball. So Chase Dolander is your Southeastern Conference Pitcher of the Year.
Yay.
Freshman of the Year, Drew Beam. Don't sound too excited over there, bud.
I'm just not surprised.
SEC Freshman Year, Drew Beam.
No surprise.
Let's see. SEC Coach of the Year, our man, Tony Vitello. Jam it, buddy.
No surprise.
Program record 49 wins and the SEC regular season crown. All right. Here we go now. The All-SEC team, we got Burns, Beam, Dolander, Gilbert, Lipscomb.
Basically our entire roster.
Yes.
I'm not seeing Jordan Beck. And then the all-freshman team, we placed Drew Beam, Blake Burke, and Chase Dolander on that. I always forget Burke's a freshman. He looks like a senior, doesn't he?
He's a big old boy.
A moose. How did Beck not make the all-SEC team? How does that happen?
Do you think that's odd?
Do you think they just felt like they had to add some non-Tennessee?
I mean, he's probably going to be a top 15 first round draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's a first rounder.
Hey, you take his batting slump, which I know we can't, but you take this little slump he's been in out, and you make an argument that he might be SEC player of the year.
You could. What else we got?
That's it as far as they've named the all-freshman team. It's according to Tennessee Baseball on Twitter, as of 3 minutes ago.
So they do have player of the year. They have confirmed that, and this is – I mean, guys, this is criminal.
Who do we have?
Trey Lipscomb did not get a share of player of the year. Instead, it goes to Dylan Cruz and Sonny D.
Did they not look at the numbers?
I guess not. Dylan Cruz is the guy from LSU.
Oh, we didn't play them this year.
No.
Probably don't know. And Sonny D. Didn't we shut him down?
We pitched around him. They didn't do anything against us.
We didn't. Did we walk him every time? We
didn't walk him every time.
I thought we pitched to him, and he just couldn't hit. Dolander, that was still back when Dolander, and I guess they did get one from us.
I mean, that. How do you not give it to Trey Lipscomb? Is my question.
I don't know if there is a correct answer for that.
I don't know that you can make a cogent argument. To me, that I would accept.
Another fun fact. Drew Gilbert finished with a higher batting average than Sonny D.
I would imagine Trey Lipscomb did too.
Yeah.
I mean, they screwed Lipscomb just because we dominated everything else.
Pretty much. And I mean, we see this all the time.
That's really disappointing.
It is, and not to mention –
Very disrespectful.
Yeah, you know, we see it all the time in every sport. Like, guys, it should be all SEC first team or, you know, all NCAA first team, second team, whatever it may be. And we see guys get snubbed all the time. But, I mean, this is just – it's so obvious that the guys that they left out from us are so much better than some of the guys they've got these awards given to. I mean, hell, our entire lineup – could be all SEC first team. That's just how good they are.
I mean, you were one win away from 50.
I just don't see how you keep Jordan Beck. I mean, that one's the one that I think that's more insulting than Trey Lipscomb not getting player of the year, almost.
Agreed. Brian on Twitter says, well, that went away. Says, I think the only reason Trey Lipscomb didn't win player of the year was because they didn't want a Tennessee sweep, which is possible.
Yeah, but that's not you don't change the rules. You can't do that. It cheapens your sport, my friends. Look what happened last night. I will never watch another race, a NASCAR race again after that debacle. We're not even going to talk about it.
No, it's going
to
be hard.
But they changed their rules. And go start, you know, massaging stuff like this. Where does it stop, Jake? Where does it stop?
It doesn't. I mean, if we're being honest, it really doesn't. That was a clown show last night.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, first of all, the All-Star race needs to be done away with.
Nah, we're not talking about it. I'm talking about Jordan Beck not being on the first team All-SEC baseball and the fact that Trey Lipscomb got knocked out of Player of the Year when – his numbers are a lot better than those two guys you just mentioned to me because they didn't want to have a Tennessee sweep. Well, here's some, you know, maybe everybody should have tried it being better at baseball this year.
I mean, I had to look up who Dylan Cruz was. I didn't know who the guy was.
I'm Maynardville mad right now.
Oh, bless your heart.
Let's just win some hardware, you know. They'll make up for it.
I really want to win the World Series bad. I mean, bad. We all do, though, don't we?
We do. And, I mean, you go back to the beginning of the season, and Some polls didn't even have us ranked in the top 25. And I said, are you kidding me? It's like, okay, well, that's fine. Y'all about to bleep around and find out. Well, they did. Because we're number one in the country, and we've been number one in the country for well over a month. And now it's like, okay, you guys aren't going to give us our players the awards that they deserve? That's fine. You're about to find out again. Because guess what? We got a conference tournament coming up, and we had the NCAA tournament, and we're going back to Omaha. You would think we are, at least. I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself here. But just from the four of us that are in this room, everyone has seen what we can do. We've seen them dominate and dominate and dominate time and time again. There's no doubt in my mind that we will be in Omaha. I just hope we don't get to the final round and get beat. That's going to be the worst and most Tennessee way.
It's going to be incredibly hard just to get there.
That's going to be hard.
It's not done a whole lot, I'm telling you. It's rare when a team goes back-to-back to the World Series.
It is, but we got the guys and the coach to do it. Let's go back to the phones, 865-546-8200, and talk to Chris. Good afternoon, Chris. You're on the drive.
Yes. Hey, about Trey Liston, USA Today did vote him SEC Player of the Year. So
oh, so USA Today did vote him.
Correct. Well, I saw it on Twitter, so I assume it's correct. But you know how that goes, so I wouldn't think that's something someone would be making up.
Right.
But also I saw today Kendall Rogers, who is basically like the Bruce Feldman of college football, I mean of college baseball.
He's a good
follower. Pretty much hinted that, yes, he's a great follower, that Kansas's shortstop, who's an absolute stud, is strongly considering Tennessee. And Ben McKee kind of hinted the same thing on VolQuest, like it's kind of a done deal.
You're talking about Maui Ahunya, right?
Yeah, some weird name. But, yeah, that's him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's batting what? He's batting in the 300s right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was
12 home runs.
Like high 300s, but they said he's great on defense with a cannon. So, obviously, he could play short or third. I'm sure Lipscomb's gone, and Lawson might be too. We'll see. But either way, if he's a Tennessee ball, that's a great get. And also, Russell's not stuck in traffic. I saw his car at Jet's Pizza. He was at the bar. So,
Oh. Well, you can't joke about it, because that has actually happened with one of the Fox News personalities, or not Fox News, Fox Sports, Knoxville personalities, got busted middle of the afternoon there at Jets.
Yeah.
Beer and pizza.
He said he's stuck in traffic. So, I don't live in Knoxville, so obviously I'm joking. But all right, y'all have a good day.
All right.
Thank you so much, Chris. All right, stay with us. The drive continues. Hopefully we'll get connected with Russell here in just a minute. Stay with us right here on Fan Run Radio.
All right. Here we go.
The Drive, Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Streaming online, fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:41. Do I get docked 41 minutes of pay today? Is that how this works?
No.
Okay.
It was outside of your control.
Oh, dude, I mean, somewhat, yes. Like, today, I don't know what happened, because I got off the interstate at Westtown. I mean, it took me half an hour to get from Cedar Bluff to the Westtown exit. I decided to abort because I looked at the map app on the phone and saw that traffic, I mean, it wasn't getting better until the paper mill exit where I get off. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll just get off here. And that was a terrible idea. And I went home. I'm home now, because I feel like I would still be in traffic trying to get to the station. So I don't know. I mean, that's bizarre that I just had to give up like that. I did start late. I was later than normal. I didn't leave until like 2:20 or so. Usually I try and leave by no later than 2 to head to the station. And it just I was late. So that was partly my fault. But, yeah, shout out to those of you stuck in I-40 hell right now. Man, I would give you a way to get around it, but I don't think there is any getting around it. And, I mean, it's just it's rough out there. So I don't know what happened, if there's a wreck or what. But, yeah, it's brutal out there, man. Brutal.
You would have blown your top if you'd pulled up here. It's probably better that you didn't.
I mean, I was you know how impatient I am. So, I mean, I was just a ball of white-hot fury and rage. And to top it all off there, as I'm going out the door, right, I'm late leaving my house anyway.
Right.
And I had to pee. I don't want to get too graphic here, but I was like, you know what? I'm so late. I'm just gonna. I'll wait till I get
to the station. Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there by, you know, 20 minutes into my I-40 nightmare. I'm just like, oh God. And it's like, do I pour my water bottle out that I keep with me and go here? And so I like stopped at a gas station. So I mean, that added 5 minutes to my thing here. But at that point, it's like 3:30 and I'm already late. And I'm like, what the hell, you know, I gotta pee. You gotta go.
That's why you keep a Gatorade bottle on you.
Yeah, maybe there is something to Jake's nightmare car. Just have a bunch of random bottles and cups strewn about. At least you have some options to go in.
Right.
Anyway, apologies, folks. We have had a really good show lined up. We still have a really good show lined up. We got a lot to get to here this afternoon on the program. A lot going on. And I heard you guys talking about the SEC Baseball Awards and some individual honors, Tennessee pretty much racking up. And I'll tell you, I was with you guys on the Lipscomb stuff. First of all, let's just recap for those of you just joining. Dolander, Vitello Coach of the Year, no surprise there. Dolander Pitcher of the Year, that not much of a surprise. Drew Beam, Freshman of the Year. That's, I guess, it's not a surprise when you just look at the numbers, but I mean, we all would have thought Chase Burns would be our best shot there, right?
Maybe. I mean, Beam, until he started showing some chinks in his armor his last couple of outings. I mean, he just, and part of it was because he was our Sunday starter, and I don't think there were maybe as many eyes on him, but I mean, he was borderline up there with Dolander for a good chunk of the season.
Yeah. Six different Vols making all SEC teams. Dolander, Lipscomb, Drew Gilbert named first team all SEC. Beam, Burns, second team all SEC. The first time Tennessee has had three players named to the all SEC first team since Chase Headley, Luke Hoshaver, and Eli Lorg were there in 2005. Five players on the All-SEC teams, the most for the Vols since they had six named in 1994. Gilbert also named to the All-SEC defensive team. So just a fabulous run of honors for Tennessee. And as regards to Lipscomb, I don't know about Dylan Cruz. It seems like that is a long shot. Just looking at his numbers, he hit 345. Lipscomb hit 351 this year. Drew Gilbert, by the way, finished 385. I don't have a problem with Sonny D winning that award, guys. He was second in batting average, hit 382. He was first in slugging percentage at 782. And he was first in on-base percentage. And this is crazy, 561. So over half the times he came up to bat, he got on base. And Lipscomb is not even in the top 15 in that category. And he 561 for Sonny D on base percentage. The second guy was Dylan Rock of Texas A&M at 490. So he is a full 71 points higher in on base percentage than Rock. And I mean, he just had a fabulous season. And Lipscomb did lead the league in RBIs with 74. And Sonny D is not in the top 15 or so of that list. But I would imagine that the fact that he got pitched around so much, I mean, he comes up with runners in scoring position, not many people pitching to Sonny D, including Tennessee this year. So I don't have a huge problem with it. He had a hell of a year, man. Lipscomb had a hell of a year too. I think he would have been a great candidate for that award. I don't know where this Dylan Cruz stuff comes from. He's a fine player himself, but I would have gone Sonny D, Trey Lipscomb, and then maybe Cruz third if I'm voting for that objectively.
What about Beck? Does that bother you?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even second team.
Well, I mean, what would your argument be for him?
He's going in the top 15 picks in the first round of the MLB draft. He's going to be playing in the major leagues probably next year.
Okay, well, I mean, that's potential, though. I mean, so is Chase Burns. But as far as this year, All-SEC 2022, what's your argument for Jordan Beck?
He's good at baseball.
Well, that's a lot of guys are good at baseball. I mean, he's not in your top 15 in home runs, not in top 15 RBIs. You go by the numbers, and he doesn't have much of a case, unfortunately. I think he's a fantastic player, and like you said, I think he's going to be a pro and all that stuff. But he did not have, and you even go back and look at his numbers, especially towards the end of the year, he tailed off badly, and we need him to get going. But to answer your question, no, I'm not surprised that he didn't make it, just because go to secsports.com and look at all the numbers. And he's just not in the conversation with the guys that we're talking about statistically: Lipscomb, Gilbert, Sonny D, Dylan Cruz, a couple of other guys. It's the SEC, man. It's a shark tank out there. But he's Mike Honcho. There's only one Mike Honcho, and I'm glad we got him hitting third for the Volunteers. And like I said, man, we need a little something more out of him, and hopefully that starts this week. We play, I guess, 5:30 Wednesday against the winner of Vandy and Ole Miss. Ooh. Oh, man.
Who you wanting out of those two?
I mean, Ole Miss, right? I mean, just from a narrative standpoint, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, yeah, that's, you know, rivalry game Wednesday in Hoover. That's huge, but, I mean, you'd rather play Ole Miss, right? I mean, that's Vandy's the better baseball team. You want to play the lesser opponent, don't you? Or are you just like, to hell with it, let's play Vandy.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts, Russ. Yeah, just to slap them across the face with the newspaper again, so to speak.
Yeah.
Would be incredible. How much fun would that be? Oh, salty Tim Corbin.
I did leave Blake Burke. He was on the All-SEC freshman team along with Beam and Burns.
Yeah.
So congratulations to him. I don't have any complaints. I think we get a fair shake here. I really do.
I still feel like they could have put Beck on that second team.
Dolander is just the second Vol to ever win SEC Pitcher of the Year. Hoshaver in 2005. Beam, the second Vol to win SEC Freshman of the Year. JP Aaron Sebia, also in 2005. So 2005 squad, man. Whew. Team was loaded. And that was one of the years I was actually out of sports radio. That was during my music radio sabbatical. But I just don't remember talking about that team that much. I mean, I remember them making the World Series, but I don't remember paying any attention to them during the regular season or even right up until they got to Omaha.
I don't either.
Totally different deal here. And this team has captured the fan base's imagination in the way few Tennessee teams have. I'd say the 2006 basketball team, Bruce Pearl's first team. Obviously, you know, the Sugar Balls, maybe the 98 national title team. This team is right up there, and special time for Tennessee baseball. Danny White, who I can't imagine has anything less than a stellar approval rating right now with Vol Nation. Maybe we'll put the poll in the field here this afternoon. Danny White approval ranking, you guys up for that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Just tell me what to.
He did an interview today with VolQuest.com, where he had a couple of really interesting comments specifically on facilities and what's going on right now with Neyland Stadium and what the vision is for Neyland long term, but also the Lindsey Nelson stuff. And it seems like we're going to have the waiting game continues for the plans for that. But he did have some interesting comments that kind of provide a window into just what he's thinking and where Lindsey Nelson might ultimately be headed, because this is going to be a fun week down there in Hoover, and I think this team is in it to win it, and we'll see how it goes. Obviously, they're going to be the talk of Hoover down there, but guys, next week, when Tennessee hosts a regional at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, I mean, it is going to be one of the all-time tough tickets in Tennessee baseball history, and it's going to be one of the all-time great sporting environments in not just Tennessee baseball history, but University of Tennessee athletics history. About 6,000 people per game will be there, and about 100,000 people will claim that they were there when your number one ranked Tennessee Vols, your SEC champion Tennessee baseball Vols, host an NCAA tournament regional at Lindsey Nelson Stadium for the second year in a row. We're going to talk about it with you this afternoon, folks. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board. I appreciate you guys just letting Phil rip me earlier, by the way.
I've been listening.
I don't know what was worse. Phil just ripping me and my so-called friends just swallowing their tongues back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, or you guys giving Marcus Young, who is so close, so very close to getting his way into the Drives group text.
He's not there yet.
Giving young Marcus Young an open mic in the A block, only to see him starting talking Premier League soccer on a day when the SEC baseball all conference team is announced, on a day when the NBA playoffs are going on. You guys haven't even mentioned that we had a major golf major yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
All kinds of stuff going on. And dumbass Marcus, I'm sorry, Marcus, I love you, but you were kind of a dumbass today. You jump on the mic and start talking soccer in the A block. It's enough that I'm not there to begin with, but you got to run off what little audience we might have to begin with on the show this afternoon. What are you doing? And you let it happen, Bear.
What do you mean? You too, let it happen.
I didn't let anything happen.
You guys let it happen.
I found out 1 minute to three that you weren't going to be here as host of the show. So forgive me, Russ. Things got a little stressed down there. You just brought up the fact that Man City won the Premier League.
The Premier League. I mean,
hindsight's 20/20. Should we have opened with Premier League soccer in East Tennessee? No. You're right.
But it was an exciting moment.
Good grief.
When their fans were crazy, there was a bunch of trouble. I mean, that amplified the whole thing.
All right. I'm shutting this down. Hour number one in the books. Burn the tape, Marcus. I'm just kidding. You guys did a good job. Thank you. Hour number two coming up. Jake will have the top four at four when we continue. It's Fan Run Radio. Hour number two coming up. Stay with us.